Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. We exist to help people find and follow God here in Gahanna, Ohio. For more information about our church, visit us online at threecreekschurch.com.
All right. Well, good morning, Three Creeks. My name's Joel. Thanks for being here this morning. If you're here for the first time, I see a bunch of folks that I don't recognize. And so we just want to say welcome. We don't really want to be the coolest church in town. We want to be the warmest one, a place where you could just come and be yourself and make friends and connect. And like Lucas mentioned earlier, our vision is to be a church that helps people find and follow God. And so wherever you're at on that spectrum, we're just glad you're here. And we hope that we can illuminate some truth about God that will help you understand how much God loves you today. So we're in week 8 of a 10-week series that we are calling Run. And we are going through the book of 2 Timothy. And I told you the very first week that 2 Timothy is my favorite book of the Bible. A lot of times as I study different books, that book becomes my favorite book of the Bible as I study it. But you know, at all times, truly, like if you were to say at any point, Joel, what's your favorite book of the Bible? It is 2 Timothy. And I told you at the beginning of the series too that I just thought that, man, over these 10 weeks, I just believed that God was going to change some of your lives. And I believe it's happening. I'm having a lot of conversations about God using this series to really just alter the direction of a lot of your lives. I have made significant decisions, commitments to Christ where maybe I'm heading this way and I'm just veering and just trying to stay on the path that leads me to Jesus, just trying to run well. And so I hope that you I hope you've been here for a lot of them. And if you haven't, you can go on our podcast or website and catch up on them. But we, you know, here at Three Creeks, we just kind of go through some books just kind of one verse at a time. We don't do the 3-week self-help stuff. We take a book of the Bible and we just go, God, what are you trying to say to us? And it's been really, really cool so far. So 2 Timothy, you might know it as a book of the Bible, but it didn't start out as a book of the Bible. It didn't start out with chapters. It didn't start out with verses. It was just a letter. In fact, a guy named Robert Estienne in 1551 was the person who selected the chapters and the verses, like where it would be broken up. So this existed for 1,500 years as just a letter. And then for the last 500 years or so, we've had it in our Bibles as a chapter and verse broken down thing. And so if you think about it that way, you kind of read it a little bit differently. Paul, he wrote this letter to his dear son in the faith, Timothy. Paul's in prison, about to die. And Timothy, he's a pastor of a big church. And Paul's writing this letter to Timothy because he wants to tell Timothy, this is how you run. This is how you run. I mean, the whole book is, if you could just sum it up in one sentence, it's, dear Timothy, run, love Paul. And Paul just kind of walks Timothy through some different things that he expects Timothy will run into in his life. And he says, this is how you handle it. This is how you run. And so today, here's what I want to do today. We're going to kind of go through the last 8 verses of chapter 3. And the last 8 verses of chapter 3, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of people, is really a description of the fuel that will help you to run. Not just run really fast this week and make one decision for Christ and help one lady cross the street. But, you know, like, fuel, long-term spiritual maturity fuel. The secret sauce, if you will. When I ask you, you know, who's the godliest person that you've ever known? And you think of somebody that's probably a lot older than you, who has lived a long life, who has run well. I'm going to tell you what Paul is saying is the secret sauce to that spiritually mature life. And so I think I'm going to talk about something very specific today. It's not going to be real wide. It's going to be kind of hitting on the same thing over and over and over, but it's something you can't miss. I'll describe at the very end how important this one thing is, this one piece of fuel, this secret sauce, this vital component. And I think it's going to be cool to read it together. So let me pray and we're going to get into it. Father, we ask that you would come in here. I already believe that you're here. I guess, God, what I'm asking for is that you would help us be aware of what you're doing and that that you might really just alter the direction of our lives this morning, God. We're okay with that. I'm okay with that. because I just really want to follow you. I don't claim to have it all together, Lord, but I'm thankful that you want to keep guiding me towards it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if I ask you the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? That's a question that was probably asked you many times through maybe your kindergarten, elementary years. Some of you guys probably said veterinarian. I feel like that's a pretty common, what do you want to be when you grow up? I asked somebody this morning, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said Shaquille O'Neal. That's who he wanted to be when he grew up. Maybe you wanted to be a doctor. Maybe you wanted to be an NBA player. Maybe you wanted to be a policeman or a firefighter. I don't know about you, but I had some crazy friends that even as kids, you'd ask them what they want to be and they'd say, teacher. And you'd say, no, seriously, what do you really want to be when you grow up? And they'd say, no, I really want to be teacher. I'm like, you want to stay in school once we're out of school? I'm not judging, I'm just saying some people are weird. And for me, I wanted to be, and you know, speaking of weird, I wanted to be a cartographer. Does anybody know what a cartographer is? A cartographer is somebody who draws maps. And that sounds really nerdy, but listen to what I wanted to do. I wanted to explore islands and then draw maps of these islands. And now I just say, you know, Siri, take me to Taco Bell. And she just kind of guides me there. And it's not what it once was. Life used to be a lot more simple than it is now. But, you know, then we grew up. We grew up, most of us, you know, we consider ourselves to be adults. And you don't get asked the question often anymore, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because you've grown up. Or, let's be honest, we're all faking it. Right? Because when we were kids, we looked up at the adults who, they could just do anything. I mean, they could fix anything. You know, you had a problem with something, you just call mom, dad, and they would come and fix it for you. And now, we're all walking around and we're just faking the thing, man. We're faking it. We look around in the room so often and we go, we can't, like, I think to myself often, I can't possibly be the most adult person in this room. Now, I know you feel the same. Well, somebody's like, did you see the stock market today? I'm like, yeah. Man, that's really going to affect my 401k. You know, or we talk about aerating lawns like we know what we're talking about. Or it's like, do you see, my credit score really did something. I'm like, okay, you know, I have no idea what that means. Talk about rotating my tires. I'm thinking, don't my tires rotate the whole time? Like, why do I need to rotate them? We talk about all these things like we know what we're talking about. We don't know what we're talking about. And here's the thing, too. I think even, I'm 32, and if you'd asked me when I was 12, you know, who's an adult, I would have said that for sure a 32-year-old is an adult. And now I'm thinking now, I'm like, I still got a long ways to go as far as it as far as growing up is concerned. I do not feel like I've arrived. And I'm willing to bet, I'm not 52 yet or not 62, but I'm willing to bet that if I ask people who are in their 50s or 60s, do you feel like you've arrived? Like where you are, where you want to be, there's no more room to grow up anymore. I have a sneaky suspicion they'd say the same thing we're saying, that they're faking the thing too. That they would agree that there is even more growth and more maturity to happen. Because remember, as a kid, I'm thinking, if you're in your 30s, you're old. And now in my 30s, I'm thinking, I'm young. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just faking this whole thing the whole time. Well, what happens in your 20s is the question changes. And the question changes in our minds, in our 20s and our 30s, where we go, rather than me asking you, what do you want to be when you grow up? We would translate, if I were to ask you that now, we would translate that question more along the lines of, what do you want to be like when you grow up? It's a little different. Because as a kid, you thought of a role or a person or a job. You thought veterinarian or NBA player or doctor. And now if I were to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? You would probably translate that more as, what do you want to be like when you grow up? Like when you talk about becoming the mature person, you're not thinking so much about your job. You've already majored in something. You've already, a lot of you have picked your careers. But really the question now in a lot of our hearts is, what do we want to be like when we grow up? Let me ask the question this way. What do you want your kids to say about you? When they go to college and they meet their roommate, I'm talking about the long game here. When they go to college and they meet their roommate, they say, what are your parents like? What do you want your kids to say? What do you want to be like when you really are old? What do you want your character to be like? What do you want your reputation in the workplace to be? I'm not talking about what your job is or what you do. I'm talking about what do you want to be like when you grow up? If you would say successful or rich or business savvy, I would suggest that you go hear Mr. Wonderful's talk down at the Ohio Convention Center or whatever it's called, because I think he'll give you what you want. But if you're anything like me, I'm not answering that question with the words rich, successful, or business savvy. That's not what I'm shooting for anymore. Maybe there was a streak of that when I was in college, but I'm just kind of the point where I go, you know what? That's not really what I'm going for anymore. Like, honestly, that's not what I want my kids to say about me. What I'm going for, Joel, what I'm going for, if you were to ask me, what do you want to be like when you grow up, Joel? I would say that I want to be humble. I want to be humble. I want to be kind. I want to be compassionate. I want to be selfless. I want to be wise. I'm essentially listing characteristics of Jesus Christ, and I'm going, like, that's really what I'm shooting for. I want to be, this is what I want to be. I want to be a godly man. I want my daughter Cooper, who's now 2.5, to talk about me like Kelsey just talked about her dad. Said, my dad's the person that helped me run. I want to be a godly man. And if you were to raise your hand right now and say, me too. Or if you want to say, I want to be a godly woman. I want to be a godly man. I don't care how much money I make. I don't care what people, you know, I'm not going after the things that everybody else is going for. I just want to have godly character so that when my kids go to college or at my funeral, when people stand up and talk about me, they don't talk about what I did, but they talked about who I was, a godly man, a godly woman. That's what I'm shooting for. And if you were to raise your hand today and say, yeah, me too, then this message is specifically for you today. Because Paul gives Timothy would have said, I want to be like Paul. I want to run like Paul. I want to be a godly man like Paul. And so Paul gives Timothy the secret sauce, the vital component. Listen to me, the vital component to becoming a godly man or a godly woman. So we're going to be in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And we're going to start in verse 10. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to pull them out. And if you don't have a Bible, man, we'd love to give you one. There's a whole stack of them right back there. So on your way out, just snag one, write your name in it. It's yours forever, and you don't have to give it back. We'll keep your coat. You keep the Bible. But we'll throw the words up on the screen just in case you didn't bring your Bible today. And we're just going to kind of go through this, and I'm going to explain what Paul says is the vital component of becoming a godly man or a godly woman. Verse 10 says this, you, however, know all about my teaching. Timothy, you know all about my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, the persecutions and sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. The first thing Paul says is, Timothy, you know me. You know me. You've spent time with me. You guys, Timothy and Paul, they were BFFs for like 20 years, just traveling around, just doing this church planting, Jesus promoting thing for their whole, you know, their whole second half of their lives, really. And so they've been together, and Paul's going, Timothy, you know me. You've seen me care for the poor. You've seen me pray with people. You've seen God heal people through me. You've seen it, Timothy, when stones hit my head at Lystra and they stoned me and they thought that I was dead. You've seen it happen. You were there. You know that through all of it, you saw my patience and my faith and my love. You saw my character. You saw that I loved God through it all. You know me. See, we don't love to take advice from people that don't seem to be taking the advice themselves. Nobody here goes to a dentist with like jacked up teeth, right? Nobody goes and hires a personal trainer who's 500 pounds overweight. We don't like it when people say, do as I say, not as I do. We go, nah, no thanks. We're not interested in the advice of people who don't seem to be taking it themselves, but when it seems to have worked for somebody, all of a sudden we're eager to do that. A dentist with like perfect teeth, I'm in. I'm going to that guy. an athletic trainer, somebody who's fit. I'm like, it just makes sense. They seem to know what they're talking about. And so Paul's just setting the stage at the beginning, going, you know me. You know that what I'm about to say has some credibility because it has fleshed itself out before your very eyes, Timothy. And so what he says next, he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so before Paul gives Timothy this vital component, the secret sauce, before he says, hey, this is what it's going to take, he gives him a fair warning. He goes, listen, if you want to do this, it's not going to be easy. It's not just, you don't just decide to do it on a whim, because it's going to be hard. People are going to persecute you. People are not going to just stay at the current level of badness. It's going to go from bad to worse. It's going to get harder and harder and harder the more and more and more that you take my advice. It's not going to be a walk in the park, Timothy. You're going to be persecuted. Remember when I was stoned? This is what you're signing up for. And I guess I should ask you, you know, a second ago I said, does anybody else want to be a man of God or a woman of God when they grow up? And I think some people, not physically, but in your hearts, hey, you raised your hand. You said, I want to do that too. I should give you a fair warning and just say, it's not going to be easy. This is not going to be a cakewalk. It's not something you sign up for on a Sunday morning and then it just happens like that. It's not what Paul's about to lay out for Timothy is not easy. Today is the National Day of Prayer for the persecuted church all over the world. Did you know that 180 Christians are killed every month for their faith in Jesus around the world? It's the number one most persecuted religion around the world. There are 203 countries on earth, and in 60 of the countries, the government and neighbors are persecuting people who believe in Jesus. It's not gonna be easy. It's not gonna be easy to follow God. People are going to be against you. It's like so abundantly clear in here. The thing about living in America is you go, I don't really necessarily feel persecuted a lot of the time. And in a lot of ways, it's socially advantageous to go to a church and be a Christian. But what's going to happen? Here's what's going to be tough for you, American. Here's what's going to be tough for you is people aren't going to care. And they're not going to notice you. They're not going to pat you on the back and say you're doing a good job. And at the same time, you're going to question it sometimes too. Like if you take the advice that Paul's about to give Timothy, you're going to question if it really works because you're not going to see fruit all the time. We're talking about a lifelong discipline. We're talking about something that takes a long time where you don't get to see the results all the time and nobody else really cares. Nobody else really notices. I'm just giving you a fair warning before I lay out this vital component that it's not going to be easy, and you ought to know that before I tell you what it is. And then Paul tells him what it is. In verse 14, it says this, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is what Paul lays out for Timothy. He says, Timothy, you want to be a man of God? You want to live your life to the full? You want to be known for your godly character? Timothy, the secret sauce is this. The vital component is this. Timothy, you love your Bible. You love your Bible. You just love it. You read it and you study it and you memorize it. You don't believe that it's just black ink on white pages. You believe there's something magical about it. You love your Bible. You want to be a godly man? You going to want to be a godly woman? Paul's saying you love your Bible. Look what he says here. In verse 14, he says, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. You know those from whom you learned it. Who did Timothy learn the Bible from? Who did Timothy learn the scriptures from? He learned it probably from a lot of people, but for sure three. The first one would be Paul, because they traveled together all the time, and Paul would tell Timothy what the scripture said. The other two people were mentioned in chapter 1 in verses 4 and 5, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, who both believed in Jesus and had godly character. And so the first thing he's saying is, you know those who taught it to you from the beginning. Continue in what you've started to learn. And again, it's like, we're not talking about a hypothetical, like this might happen if you do this. We're talking about Paul, Eunice, and Lois, who lived long lives with godly character. And so Paul's saying, listen, Timothy, the proof's in the pudding. Like, they did it and it worked for them. If you want this godly character, this is what it's going to take. I know you've started learning the scriptures, but you've got to keep learning. Continue in what you have learned. And then in verse 15, it says, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So bottom line, this is what the Bible does for you. Bottom line is, it helps you understand what Jesus did for you. It helps you understand what Jesus did for you. The whole Bible, this is not a list of things that you need to do for Jesus. This is a story about what Jesus did for you over and over and over and over. That's what the Bible is. And so I get it. There's a temptation a little bit, because some of you understand that. You already knew that. You already knew that Jesus died on the cross. You already knew that he rose again. You already know that he's coming back. And so to some extent we go, do I really need to know a lot more than that? Because I get the point. And so if I get the whole point, what's the point of continuing to learn if I get it? Like, I understand what Jesus did. Well, here's the point. The point is verse 16 that says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is not a decoration for your house. This is the guide you have to keep with you so you don't get lost. And so I get that. You know, I read that verse, and here's what I believe. Let me just tell you what I believe, but before you tune me out, I'm going to acknowledge how you might feel about what I'm going to say. I believe that this is God-breathed, that God spoke this into existence, that these are God's words. I believe that human hands wrote this stuff down, but they didn't come up with the content in their brains. I believe the Holy Spirit moved in people to write this down, and these are God's words. I believe that this is the Holy Scripture of God, and this is God's word to us. I really believe that. But I understand that there's people in here that don't necessarily believe that. That you go, there's contradictions in this thing. It was written how long ago? Are you sure? You know, who's the group that really put there's 66 books. Who's the group that really put this thing together? You know, I get it. Like, those are real questions, and I don't know if I have all the answers, but I could debate you. I could debate you. I could tell you about the Council of Carthage. I could tell you about the Dead Sea Scrolls. I could tell you how many people wrote it. I could tell you the span of time in which it was written. I could tell you, I could debate you on the validity of the scriptures, but the bottom line is, I don't think it would matter right now. In this context, in this setting, as I'm sitting up here or standing up here and you're sitting there, and I just, you know, just start talking about the validity of this thing, I just think that you'd be more inclined to go like this than like, oh yeah, tell me, really? And I don't know that I could really change your mind with a debate, but here's what I do believe matters. Here's what I do believe might change how you feel about this thing a little bit. Look again at verse 14. It says, continue what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. You know those from whom you learned it. What I'm saying is, there are people, when I think about the godliest people that I know, when I think about the people who have lived their life well, when I think about the people whose kids go to college and they say, what are your parents like? They go, they love Jesus. They're just all about other people. They're living lives of impact and blessing for others and not themselves. When I think about those people, there's a consistent thread in all of their lives. They love the Bible. And so, you know, we could debate this all you want, but the proof is that people that give their lives to studying and memorizing and reading this thing, their lives are changed, period. I've witnessed it with my own eyes. When I was 23 years old, I went to this, something called the Kanakuk Institute. And the Kanakuk Institute, they just parade these amazing godly people before you. Every week, a new one comes in, and they would teach us, and they would lead us. And as a 23-year-old, I'm so moldable, and I'm looking at these people going, these are the people that I want to be like. These are the people whose kids are talking about them being godly people. And I'm 23 and I'm supposed to be, you know, taking notes. And so I'm taking notes, not on just what they say, but I'm taking notes on who these people are. Because I wanted to know, what's the common thread? What's the common thread? What's the common characteristic of all these people? And they all just loved their Bible. They all read it and studied it and memorized it. They read it every single day across the board. Across the board. And so there's just no question. Like, it's not like if you read this and study it and memorize it, I think your life might change. It's like I've seen it happen over and over and over. Your life's gonna change. You're gonna grow up if this is your secret sauce, if this is your vital component too. One of the teachers that came in to that institute class said this. He said, spiritual maturity does not happen at weekend revivals. It happens through daily bread. Didn't happen at weekend revivals. It happens through daily bread. If you just come in here to church every Sunday, you expect to feel grown up at some point. If you come and give, you know, 72 minutes a week to come to church, you're just not going to get to the point where you go, I feel like that God has helped me to achieve this godly level of character that I'm going for. It's not going to happen through weekend revivals. It's going to happen through daily bread. I agree with all of my heart with something that John Piper said. John Piper is a pastor and theologian in Minnesota, and I just agree with what he said about this. He said, I can't guarantee you that if you read the Bible every day, and if you study it, and if you memorize it, if you make this the guide for your life, I can't guarantee you that if you do that, you will grow into spiritual maturity. I can't guarantee it. But I can guarantee that if you don't, you won't. This guy's been around a long time. He's seen a lot of flashes in the pan. He's saying, I guarantee if you don't, you won't. If you don't make this the vital component of your spiritual walk, I don't think you're ever going to feel grown up. I think you might get lucky. Maybe. I don't know. Not a risk I'm willing to take. Let me just ask this question. Why does it matter so much? It's just a book. Why does it matter so much? If I already get the point, why do I got to keep reading it? Why do I got to memorize it? Why do I got to study it? What's the point? Why does it matter so much? Paul tells us in the last verse, and I think I skipped over it, and I don't even know if you noticed it, but Paul tells us, Paul says that all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that, why does it matter? It matters so that, verse 17, the servant of God, or the man of God, or the woman of God may be equipped for every good work. That's why it matters. You don't study this thing and memorize it so that you can puff it up in your head and be more theologically correct about something. You study and you memorize and you read this thing because it prepares you for every good work. It helps you live a life of impact. It helps you live, it propels you to live a life of blessing for other people. You guys, you read this and study it and memorize it because it will equip you for every good work. That's why it's so important. I get to preach almost every week up here. And maybe you remember some of it. You probably don't remember most of it. But if I could wipe your memory clean of anything that I've ever said before, and if I knew I just had 5 more minutes, if I had 5 minutes to instill in you one thing, you can wipe out the last 8 months of messages if you've been coming here since our beginning. If you could just wipe all of it out, if I had 5 minutes and I could convince you of one thing that I really believe would change your life for the long haul, it would be what I'm talking about today. I would just beg you to love your Bible. I would beg you to read your Bible every day. I would beg you to try to memorize different verses in the Bible. I would beg you to try to memorize a chapter of the Bible. I've just experienced this in my own life. It totally transformed me and changed me when I have committed my life to studying and memorizing and reading this thing every day. It has just totally changed my life. And if I had 5 minutes with you, I would beg you to just at least try it. I would try to explain to you that this is not supposed to be a decoration. It's not supposed to be a good luck charm. It's not supposed to collect dust on the table by your bed. It's not supposed to be something that your grandma gave you and you just kind of have in the house so that you can kind of look religious. This thing's supposed to have coffee stains on it. It's supposed to be all highlighted and written up in. And it might not make sense to anybody else, but it just kind of makes sense to you because you've just been in it so much. This thing's supposed to have like tattered pages. Like, you know how sometimes you close your Bible and the page gets, you know, folded and it's going to be like that forever. Some of you guys are OCD and you know what I'm talking about. That's how your Bible's supposed to look. It's supposed to have a torn page where scotch tape keeps it in there because your kids saw you reading your Bible. They came over, they wanted some too, and so they just took the page and they ripped it. That's what your Bible's supposed to look like. You can't buy vintage Bibles. It's not like jeans where you buy a Bible with holes in it or buy jeans with holes in it because it's cool. I don't know, whatever. You can't buy a vintage Bible. You can't buy a worn out Bible. You get a worn out Bible by spending tons of time in the thing. Opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing. I would beg you to try to have a worn out Bible if I had 5 minutes left. I'm telling you, Paul's saying, if you want to grow up, if you want to be spiritually mature, the secret sauce is that you believe this thing's from God and you give your life to it. I heard somebody say this one time and it's stuck with me for a decade, and so I'm going to share it with you. But this thing is a lot like smoking a cigarette, because a lot of you guys tried smoking a cigarette, and a lot of you guys were in maybe 8th or 9th or 10th grade when somebody offered you a cigarette for the first time. And let me guess, you really enjoyed that first one, right? No, you went like, if you have, you know, don't lie, you're in church. Some of us did this, and so we took the cigarette and we went, so it was like the first time. And you thought to yourself, people are addicted to this thing? People like this? It's how your Bible is. A lot of times when you read this for the first time, if you've never opened it before, if you've never read it before, you start reading it and the first thing you think is, people are addicted to this thing? People like this? People do this every day? If you keep smoking cigarettes, you get hooked. It's a drug, man. It hooks you to the point where you have to have it. You can't go a day without it. You got to have more. You're hooked. It's how this thing works. There's a period of time where you kind of have to push through and trust that it's the right thing to do. And then over time, you're just going to get hooked to this thing. I remember somebody challenging me. They said, just spend 15 minutes a day reading your Bible. And you watch what happens. After 30 days, you're going to want to read it for 30 minutes every day. He was right. He was right. There's a woman that goes to this church who admitted to me, she's in her, I don't know, 50s or 60s, and she admitted to me that she'd never regularly read her Bible until she started to come to Three Creeks. And she said maybe I mentioned something like this before, and I'm not really even sure if I did, but she said, I just started reading it because I just knew it was the right idea, and now I just can't get enough of it. I go running, I go cycling, and I just listen to the Bible because I just have to have it. It's addicting. You want to grow up? If you want to grow up, what do you want to be like when you grow up? If you want to be a godly man or a godly woman, Paul's saying to Timothy, you got to trust this is God's word and you got to read it. You got to memorize it. You got to study it because it's the fuel. It's the vital component to growing up to spiritual maturity. we are right on the cusp here at Three Creeks Church of me not being able to do this. And so I'm going to do this because we're still here and I'm thankful for it. One day I'm gonna miss these days, I hope. Because we might get to the point where we're, you know, bigger, and I maybe wouldn't be able to do something like this, but I want to do it today. I just feel like God wants me to do this today. If you have your phone, will you pull it out? Pull out your phone. And I'm going to give you my number. Okay? So open up a text message. If you don't have my number, or if you have my number, open up my name. And my number is 614-984-9925. 614-984-9925. Now that you have my number, here's what I want to ask of you. I just want you to know that if you're sitting there going, I don't even know how to start. I open this thing and I go, what? If you're going, I don't even know the difference between the different books. Like, do I start in the beginning? Do I start later? If you're just at a point in your walk with God where you go, I don't even know where to start. This sounds like a good idea, Joel, but I don't know how to take my first step. I'm asking you to just text me and say, hey, can we meet up? Because I've got time right now to do this, and nothing would give me more joy. Nothing would be more of an honor than for you to ask me to have a 30-minute conversation about how you could start reading your Bible. I don't have all the answers. It's going to take a lot of discipline on your part to grow into this, but I can at least get the ball rolling in the right direction because I've hung around enough people that have given me enough ideas that I'm just going to pass them on to you. And then here's the thing too. There's some people in here who go, you know, I don't know how to start. There's some people in here who maybe there was a point in your life where you were reading this thing regularly, but you would be ashamed to admit how often you read it right now. I've been there. I've done the thing where I go to church and I act like I'm reading the Bible and I haven't opened it up in a month. And so I just want to say that if that's you, if you're in here this morning and you're going, man, I know that this is the right thing. It's just been a tough season. I'm busy. I'm just out of a rhythm. I don't even know where to start again. I would just love to sit down with you for 30 minutes and just talk with you and pray with you and send you, get the ball rolling in the right direction. I think it would be a very humble thing for you to do that if you put yourself in the category of, you know, I know this is true. Everybody thinks that I probably do read my Bible, but I'm just not doing it. Like, if that's you, I think it would be very humble of you to text me and say, hey, can we meet up and talk? And I'd just be honored. I'd be honored to do that. What do you want to be like when you grow up? If you say godly man, if you say godly woman, all scriptures God breathed. It's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. This is the guide that keeps us on the path when we're about to get lost. Let me pray. Father, I just ask that you would help me even in my pursuit of the Bible. I pray, God, that if there's anybody in here this morning who's going to just try it this week, who's maybe going to try reading it this afternoon or tomorrow morning, I just pray if there's anybody in here right now who's going, I should do this because I want to grow up. I want to be spiritually mature. God, I pray that you would just give them fruitful times as they read it for the first time. I pray that they would just like it right away, that you would just give them a taste of your goodness just to keep them going in it. I just pray for special, special times in your word this week with the people in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.